I would like to read, please, just one verse tonight. It's found in the little book of Hosea in the Old Testament, if you have a Bible. Just coming in there. Ezekiel, Daniel, and Hosea. Hosea chapter 10, please. And we'll read verse number 12. And so to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It's just that expression that has been upon my mind to a degree. For it is time to seek the Lord. And that's all that we'll read. We trust God's blessing upon this word. Now, I know that this is a rather obscure place, I suppose, to turn to in a gospel meeting. And yet, this little clause that I would like to leave with you tonight, it is very familiar to all in the meeting, for it is time to seek the Lord. I remember as a child, I used to sit there in the gospel hall in Kilkeel, the old hall, and there was a large brown clock that hung above the platform. And there was painted these words around it: it is time to seek the Lord. I know, dear friend, that it's very likely that you have sat in many gospel meetings. These words have been the subject of the gospel, the text that the preacher has tried to leave with you. And yet it impressed me tonight that as I sat there just waiting for the meeting to commence, that every time you hear it, it is time to seek the Lord. It's far more pressing, far more important than any time you've heard it in the past. I want you to be impressed with that tonight in the meeting. And I long, dear friend, that it would be that the Holy Spirit of God would draw near and write it upon your heart as you listen to the gospel, that really for you, if you're not seeing, it is time for you to seek the Lord. In fact, I would say, dear friend, it's high time. It's high time. Because as you sit here another Lord's Day evening, afternoon, it is far more pressing than when you were here last Sunday. And every one of us, as we stand here or you sit on the seats, we're a week nearer eternity than when we last met in the hall here for the gospel meeting. That's what makes a gospel meeting so very, very solemn. And I would love today that these words would be impressed upon your heart and that you would understand that, yes, my greatest priority is to seek Christ, to have him as my Savior. Because, dear friend, I want to remind you today in the meeting that if you don't have Christ, and remember, if there's never been a time in your life when you sought him, well, you don't have him, because God's salvation will not fall on you. You'll not wake up some morning and realize that something happened in the middle of the night and suddenly you were saved. Salvation is received by the soul that seeks Christ, repents of their sin and trusts in him. And I want to say today, thank God you could do that on the seat where you sit. I believe that with all my heart, dear friend. We believe emphatically in the great potential of every gospel meeting. And I said it in prayer, and I say it to you now with my eyes open. It would delight us to hear of one soul being saved tonight. But if everyone here that are in their sins tonight, if you told us on the way out that you were all saved, we would rejoice, dear friend, and we believe it's verily possible. We present to you a Savior, one that left heaven's glory, one that was with the Father eternally, one that became a man, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he went to Calvary's cross, and there upon that middle cross, in shame and suffering, the Son of God, he died for man, his creature sin, and he provided salvation for all. And that's why we come here today. If we didn't believe it, we would stay at home. We believe there's salvation for every soul here, and that you could have it today, just in the seat where you're sitting. And I was thinking just of a few very simple things, a few simple reasons, dear friend, and I leave them with you. I won't keep you too long. But I just want to think of some reasons why it is time for you to seek the Lord. And the first one I was thinking about was that you should seek the Lord because a life without Christ is a wasted life. I hope you understand that we're not being unkind when we say that, because it's the Word of God that makes that abundantly clear, that a life lived without Christ, as far as God is concerned, it's a wasted life. Now, dear soul, I want to say again, we're not being hard when we say that, but that's the solemn reality of it. And we have known people in the past, and they're gone, and they achieve much in this world. They rose to the height of their profession. They were well known around the district. They were a household name. They gathered much of this world's goods, and yet they went out into eternity. And as far as we know, they never trusted Christ. Now I would ask you, dear friend, in light of eternity, what do they have? Because the Word of God makes it abundantly clear. In Romans chapter 8, it says there, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's a solemn reality that if you're not saved today, you would need to face up to. That as you look back over the course of your life, if you're not saved, there's never been a moment, never been a day, whenever you brought God any pleasure. Do you know why that is, dear friend? Do you know the reason for that? It's just the awful consequences of sin. I would like to pause in this gospel meeting and remind you, dear friend, of what this is all about. Because for an hour here, or not even an hour, for these minutes on a Lord's Day afternoon, we gather here to deal with matters that are for eternity. And that's it, dear friend. And I hope you understand. You'll maybe go to school tomorrow, and they'll be telling you at school it's time you started to revise. And it's time you were settling down, and all of that, and all of those important things that occupy you during the week. For these moments we're thinking about eternity, and where your soul will be in the great eternal world. And oh, that the solemnity of it would touch every heart in the meeting today. I know, dear friend, it's very, very popular right in the world today just to go on and to disregard the Bible and imagine that the preaching of the gospel is very last century and all of that. I want to say kindly tonight in the meeting, it doesn't alter the reality, dear friend. And every one of us, we're just marching on the journey of life, and we're all making our way out into eternity. And I ask you, dear friend, what about your soul in the meeting? What about your precious soul? What about the problem of your sin against God? Because every one of us, that's the thing about the message of the gospel. It's just the great leveler of humanity, isn't it? It brings us all down onto the same platform. No matter what walk of life, no matter you're standing around Ballyclare or any of those things, whenever you come in and take your seat where the gospel is preached, the message is just the same for everyone. And it tells us all so very plainly and so clearly from the Word of God that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And oh, if we as believers could really grasp, because at the end of the day, we're all creatures of time, we're all affected by the fall, and the reality is, we have little understanding, all of us. We really have little grasp of how serious sin is in the sight of God. And the very, very best that you and I can do, dear friend, the very best, the most sincere motives and the best of intentions, the Bible makes it clear, it's all stained by the awful blight of sin, and it cannot please God. That, dear friend, is why you should seek the Lord. That is why it is time. It's tremendous to stand and preach the gospel and look at young people here. And I want to say to you tonight, it would be a great night for you to be saved. I preached with a young man there last Sunday night, and he was saved at 8 years of age. Anyone 8 here tonight? 8 years of age, he trusted Christ in a simple way, and he started for heaven and home. And I tell you, that's a great blessing, isn't it? Just a life lived for the glory of God. And whenever we preach the gospel to young boys and girls, we do it with the awareness that if you were to be saved when you're young, there's no telling what you could do for God or where you could go for God. And in early days, to begin to live a life that's pleasing to God, with a glad and glorious prospect of being in heaven eternally. Another reason I was thinking about was that why you should seek the Lord, why it is time to seek the Lord, because a life without Christ is a disobedient life. Maybe you never thought about it that way. But I want to tell you that God commands you to seek the Lord. You remember there in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6, it says there, the command is given, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You remember the Lord could say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You remember that day when Paul stood there in Athens, surrounded by all those philosophers and all those that were seeking after knowledge. And he stood there, that little man, with the authority of heaven behind him. And he preached Christ, and this is what he said. He was conscious that they were steeped in ignorance, but he told them the gospel, and this is what he said. He said, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What does that tell me, dear friend? It tells me that God expects, whenever the sinner hears the gospel, that they obey it, that they repent. And the command of God goes out to you in this meeting to repent of your sin and to turn from your sin and trust Christ. Because every day that a sinner spends in his or her sins, how solemn to think, dear friend, it's an offense against the holy God of heaven. I tell you, dear people, we deal with solemn realities tonight. We deal with eternal facts. And oh, that you would consider well these things, that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I wonder how many times have you heard? Maybe you're not too old in the meeting. But I dare say if you try to count the number of times you've heard the gospel, you might find it difficult to do it. But how many times you've listened to the command of heaven to repent of your sin and to trust Christ, very solemnly still in your sins, never having obeyed, continuing in a path of disobedience. That, dear soul, is why tonight it's time to seek the Lord. I was thinking as well that a life without Christ is a dangerous life. Because, dear soul, the Bible makes it very clear. What does it say? It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And we have been reminded in recent days down in Kilkeel, and I'm sure you have been here around Ballyclare too. I don't know, but it's likely the same everywhere. Just been reminded how very, very quickly death can enter into a home, and how very suddenly things can change. And the Bible makes that clear, that we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Just a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. I know we could go down tonight into some of those hospitals there in Belfast, go up into the wards, and you would see people, and they're spending likely their last hours upon earth. And yet any one of us here could be gone before them. That's how solemn it is, dear friend. And if you haven't got Christ tonight, how solemn to think that you're living and you're just moving along the road of life, and you're in awful danger of missing heaven. Danger of the Lord coming. We were speaking in the prayer meeting about our dear brother Jack Lennox, and how he used to preach, and preached often, and lived in the good of the fact that the Lord was coming. And very soon those words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will be fulfilled. And I notice whenever I read that chapter, do you know how it finishes? It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. You see, for the child of God, the prospect of the Lord's coming is a source of great comfort. And I know we have loved ones and we long to see them see you, but there is within the heart of every child of God that believes in these words. There is within them that desire just to be with Christ, to see him. And that will be a moment of great comfort and great joy. And yet, dear soul, for you that know the gospel, I tell you it will be a moment of indescribable horror just to understand that the Lord has come. I'm left behind. I never trusted Christ. I never sought the Lord for salvation. And I've left it too late. And I've missed my little day and opportunity. That is why it is time to seek the Lord. You know, I thought as well, and with this I'll close, but I thought as well about our Savior. And you know, we read about him seeking, don't we? I thought about that day whenever he was leaving the city of Jericho. And the little man Zacchaeus, who came down and received him at the foot of the sycamore tree. You remember what the Lord said to those that were gathered around. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In trying to impress upon you that are not saved of the great importance, the great necessity that you would seek Christ. I want to tell you just to leave this with you before we make our way home. I want to tell you, dear friend, that he came from heaven and he came to seek and to save those that were lost. I can tell you tonight, he's still doing. He's still seeking sinners. He's still waiting for sinners to respond to the invitation of the gospel. And all that seek Christ today, they will find him. And they will be saved and with him eternally. I told you reasons, a few reasons why you should seek him. We don't have any reasons to tell you of why he came to seek us. We don't have any reasons, dear friend. Because there was nothing in any one of us. There was nothing in the teeming masses of humanity that ever could draw out favor with God. Poor, depraved sinners in all the guilt of our fallen condition. And yet we delight to tell you about a God in heaven that loved a perishing world. And he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. These are words that you know so very well. Yet how sad to be so privileged, and yet still in your sins, still in danger of perishing. And down from the glory, the Saviour came, though we often sing it there, in loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, in love he lifted me. And there are those here tonight in the meeting. I keep on saying tonight, don't forgive me. There are those here in this meeting, and we can testify to a Saviour that can save and transform lives. You see, you might know people. Now listen to me, just for a few minutes. We're going to be finished soon. Maybe you go to school with people, and they scoff at all of this. And they tell you it's all fables and it's all nonsense. But you know different. You know different. Because you see the reality of God's salvation in other people. And the reality of a God who can save and transform lives. And people that are a living testimony to the mighty power of God. And he would do that for you tonight in this meeting. A Saviour that came from glory, lived here upon this world, and went all the way to Calvary. And there upon that cross that day, whenever the heart of man was just displayed for what it was, seems to me that they took the very Son of God and they just cast him, as it were, off the face of the earth. They lifted him up there, and they suspended him between heaven and earth. And a righteous God in heaven above, that his righteousness and his holiness demanded that sin be punished. And beneath the Lord, a guilty world that deserved to be punished. And yet that day at Calvary, he came in between. And he bore the judgment of God that sin must receive. And I thank God that he bore it all. Not a mite was left unpaid when he our judgment bore. He cried, "It is finished." He provided salvation for all. Thank God, not only is it time for you to seek the Lord, but we thank God that you can seek him. And we thank God he can be found. And the promise of Scripture tonight is just the same, that ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's way back in the book of Jeremiah, centuries ago. But it's still the same today, and it still stands. And if you're not saved, we would long that that would change. And oh, just in some place, even just before you leave the meeting, that you would bow in repentance, acknowledge God is right and I am wrong, and cry to God in the quietness of your own heart. Seek the Lord, and you would be saved. You would be able to leave the meeting on the way to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Our God and Father, we thank thee for thy word that we can read from, and the message of the gospel that we can make known. And we do thank thee for all that are here. We pray for each one. We know, Father, that it is at this point that the devil would come to take away the good seed that has been sown. And we do pray that those that have heard tonight, that they would think upon these things and seek salvation, seek the Lord where they may be found, call upon him when he is near. We pray thy blessing, Father. We know that in many other places, at a later hour, the gospel will be preached. And so we pray that this will be a day of gospel blessing, not only here in Ballyclare, but up and down the land. And we know that it will all redound to the glory of the Lord Jesus. We pray for thy blessing, thy care, as we make our way home in the Saviour's worthy name.